Second part of the second part. Question 14. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Article 1. Whether the sin against the Holy Ghost is the same as the sin committed through certain malice. Three meanings have been given to the sin against the Holy Ghost. For the earlier doctors, namely Athanasius, Hilary, Ambrose, Jerome, and Chrysostom, the sin against the Holy Ghost is literally to utter a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, whether by Holy Spirit we understand the essential name applicable to the whole Trinity, or the personal name of one of the persons of the Trinity, in which sense blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is distinct from the blasphemy against the Son of Man in Matthew 12:32. The Jews began by speaking blasphemy against the Son of Man when they said, in Matthew 11:19, that he was a glutton and a wine drinker and a friend of publicans, but afterwards they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost when they ascribed to the prince of devils those works which Christ did by the power of his own divine nature and by the operation of the Holy Ghost. St. Augustine, however, says that blasphemy, or the sin against the Holy Ghost, is final impenitence, when, namely, a man perseveres in mortal sin until death, and that it is not confined to utterance by word of mouth, but extends to words in thought and deed, not to one word only, but to many. Now this word in this sense is said to be uttered against the Holy Ghost because it is contrary to the remission of sins, which is the work of the Holy Ghost, as he is the charity both of the Father and the Son. Nor did our Lord say this to the Jews as though they had sinned against the Holy Ghost, since they were not yet guilty of final impenitence. But he warned them lest by similar utterances they should come to sin against the Holy Ghost. And it is in this sense that we are to understand Mark 3:29-30, where after our Lord had said, "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven," the evangelist adds, "because they said he hath an unclean spirit." But still others understand it differently, and say that the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is a sin committed against that good which is appropriated to the Holy Ghost, because goodness is appropriated to the Holy Ghost, just as power is appropriated to the Father and wisdom to the Son. Hence they say that when a man sins through weakness, it is a sin against the Father, that when he sins through ignorance, it is a sin against the Son, and when he sins through a certain malice, that is, through the very choosing of evil, it is a sin against the Holy Ghost. Now this may happen in two ways. First, by reason of the very inclination of a vicious habit, which we call malice, and in this way, to sin through malice is not the same as to sin against the Holy Ghost. In another way it happens that by reason of contempt, that which might have prevented the choosing of evil is rejected or removed. Thus hope is removed by despair, and fear by presumption, and so on. Now all these things which prevent the choosing of sin are effects of the Holy Ghost in us, so that in this sense to sin through malice is to sin against the Holy Ghost. Article 3. Whether the sin against the Holy Ghost can be forgiven. It is written in Matthew 12:32, "He that shall speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come." And St. Augustine says that so great is the downfall of this sin that it cannot submit to the humiliation of asking for pardon. According to the various interpretations of the sin against the Holy Ghost, there are various ways in which it may be said that it cannot be forgiven. For if by the sin against the Holy Ghost we understand final impenitence, it is said to be unpardonable, since in no way is it pardoned. Because the mortal sin wherein a man perseveres until death will not be forgiven in the life to come, since it was not remitted by repentance in this life. According to the other two interpretations, it is said to be unpardonable, not as though it is nowise forgiven, but because considered in itself, it deserves not to be pardoned. And this in two ways. First, as regards the punishment, since he that sins through ignorance or weakness deserves less punishment, whereas he that sins through malice can offer no excuse in alleviation of his punishment. Likewise, those who blasphemed against the Son of Man before his divinity was revealed could have some excuse on account of the weakness of the flesh which they perceived in him, and hence they deserve less punishment. Whereas those who blasphemed against his very divinity by ascribing to the devil the works of the Holy Ghost had no excuse in diminution of their punishment. Wherefore, according to Chrysostom's commentary, the Jews are said not to be forgiven this sin neither in this world nor in the world to come, because they were punished for it both in the present life through the Romans, and in the life to come in the pains of hell. Thus also St. Athanasius adduces the example of their forefathers who, first of all, wrangled with Moses on account of the shortage of water and bread. And this the Lord bore with patience, because they were to be excused on account of the weakness of the flesh. But afterwards they sinned more grievously when, by ascribing to an idol the favors bestowed by God who had brought them out of Egypt, they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, saying, in Exodus 32:4, "These are thy gods, O Israel, that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Therefore the Lord both inflicted temporal punishment on them, since they were slain on that day about 3,000 men, and threatened them with punishment in the life to come, saying, I, in the day of revenge, will visit this sin of theirs. Secondly, it may be understood to refer to the guilt. Thus, a disease is said to be incurable in respect of the nature of the disease, which removes whatever might be a means of cure, as when it takes away the power of nature or causes loathing for food and medicine. So too, the sin against the Holy Ghost is said to be unpardonable by reason of its nature, insofar as it removes those things which are a means towards the pardon of sins. This does not, however, close the way of forgiveness and healing to an all-powerful and merciful God, who, sometimes by a miracle, so to speak, restores spiritual health to such men.